This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 8th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at the growth in sales of organic products, including milk. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first a look at today's news. Federal officials have said no to disaster assistance for people whose homes and businesses were damaged last month by flooding in Watseka and Pontiac. But there's a difference of opinion over why the Federal Emergency Management Agency rejected their relief request. Phil Bloomer, a spokesman for 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson, charges that the state turned in incorrect information underreporting the damage. He says the information will be resubmitted.
The state has a timetable of 10 days for the local ESDA people and local officials to gather their new information and present it to FEMA. And then there's another 30 days total to submit their appeal to FEMA. And then FEMA investigates the new information. So we're looking at 6 weeks out.
But Patty Thompson of the State Emergency Management Agency says there was no underreporting, intentional or unintentional. She says the state is asking Iroquois and Livingston County officials to recheck homes for damage that may not have been evident after the first flood. But she admits that may be difficult because some of those homes are now flooded again. One of the biggest hurdles Barack Obama is facing in his bid for the presidency is his connection to Tony Rezko, who is under indictment for shaking down firms on contract with the state. Rezko was an advisor and chief fundraiser for Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, but Rezko also made major contributions to Obama and dozens of other politicians, past and present. That list includes everyone from Democrats Al Gore and John Kerry to former Illinois Governor Jim Edgar, a Republican. Edgar admits taking donations from Rezko, but says there was nothing inappropriate about it.
I took campaign contribution from Tony Rezko. You know, I don't know. I don't remember him ever asking for anything.
Edgar also says he doesn't see signs of any smoking gun connection with Rezko that would ruin Obama's campaign.
We all have acquaintances or friends that maybe have done something we wish they didn't do. That doesn't mean that we are in the same boat as they are.
Edgar says campaign contributions become a problem when officials thank the donors with rewards like state contracts. He points out that Illinois' current governor, Rod Blagojevich, let Rezko influence policy decisions. Edgar says an ongoing federal investigation will determine if Blagojevich's relationship with Rezko was illegal. Rezko goes to trial next month for his alleged fraud and scheme. Peace activists say it's no surprise Illinois voters are twice as concerned about the economy as the Iraq war. They say the two are inseparable. Exit polls conducted for the Associated Press in Tuesday's primary show nearly half of voters, Democrat and Republican, listed the economy as the nation's top issue. The war was a distant second. Michael McConnell of the Quaker-backed peace group American Friends Service Committee says ending the war would free billions of dollars to stimulate the economy. Megan Monahan says the war is a huge financial burden. The 23-year-old Chicago woman voted for Democrat Hillary Clinton. 69-year-old Natalie Fredrickson of Chicago says America is weak spending so much money on the war. Sister Karen Nichol of Lyle is with the Illinois chapter of the Catholic peace group Pax Christi. She says people are beginning to see the link between the war and the country's fiscal outlook. 70% of Champaign voters in Tuesday's primary said they want their leaders to find a way to restore money for township assistance to the poor. That way, it could be a township property tax increase. But Township Supervisor Linda Abernathy says the city government could help, too. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Abernathy says she'll propose a property tax referendum to increase funding for township assistance. The question would go on the November ballot. Until then, Abernathy says there's another potential source of funding for township assistance, the city of Champaign.
That municipality is not bound by just property taxes. They have other resources that the township does not have. Taxes that they receive in other ways other than just property taxes.
But city councilman and also township board member Tom Bruno says it would be wrong for the city to help out even in the short term, given Champaign voters' rejection of a township tax hike in 2006.
It would be an affront to those same voters to say, well, you know what, we're going to just disregard what you said in that township referendum 2 years ago, and we're going to do it anyway. And you can't stop us because we're going to give it away from city money. I find that to be offensive.
While opposing aid from the city, Bruno says he favors putting another township tax referendum before the voters. Abernathy says she'll have something ready for the next City of Champaign Township Board meeting on March 4th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Industry regulators have approved a series of cost-saving initiatives unveiled by Illinois' leading utility companies. Ameren and ComEd's programs are required as part of a new state law to not only save money but boost energy efficiency. Ameren's plans include distributing a new device that cuts down on air conditioner use at peak demand times and providing discounts on energy-efficient light bulbs. Another program would recycle older, inefficient refrigerators. Ameren spokesman Lee Morris says these and other initiatives are being planned with a larger goal in mind.
We're not looking, for example, just to reduce usage at a particular time of the year. We're looking to reduce overall usage so it actually has a significant impact on electricity consumption in our service territory.
Ameren's efficiency program, which begins in June, is also aimed at business customers. The Illinois Commerce Commission approved the measures on Wednesday. The Citizens Utility Board commends the changes, but spokesman Jim Chilson says more needs to be done.
It should be a first step among many that need to be taken to reform, you know, Illinois' power pricing system. And a big component has to be the utilities acknowledging that energy efficiency programs are very important and giving resources to them.
Chilson suggests Ameren should put as much effort into marketing its efficiency plans as it does a suggested rate hike. The utility is currently seeking a $247 million increase for electricity and natural gas and is the subject of a series of hearings hosted by the ICC going on around the state. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Products labeled organic used to be associated with hippie culture. Ever since the National Organic Standards went into effect 5 years ago, organic has become big business. Sales of organic products now total about $20 billion a year in the U.S., but that quick growth spurt is coming with some growing pains, as Julie Grant reports.
Kara Scora is a part-time college professor, and her family doesn't make a lot of money. She's wearing a hand-me-down sweater. She's been eyeing some bracelets at this Target store, but she quickly walks away. She isn't going to spend her money on something so frivolous. Instead, Scora goes to the dairy case and pulls out a carton of organic milk. At $3.50, it's nearly double the price of a regular half gallon. But Scora thinks the higher cost is worth it for her two sons.
Because it's one thing, I mean, we don't go out to dinner, we don't waste money on things, and we don't have much money to spend. But I figured this is becoming their bodies. This is becoming their bones and their flesh and what little fat they have. They're both skinny little boys. So I'm willing to go into debt to get organic milk.
Really go into debt for?
Oh, yeah. We're in credit card debt, and I think of a couple thousand dollars of that every year is organic milk. It's the one thing we splurge on.
Scora used to have to go to a health food store to find organic milk. These days, she can buy it a lot of places. And whether she's buying it at Target or someplace else, she trusts that the government's organic label means the milk meets certain standards. It used to be a label that said organic could mean all kinds of things. Different state agencies and private organizations each had their own organic standards. Each trained their own people to inspect farms to make sure farmers were meeting their organization's rules. Then 5 years ago, the U.S. Department of Agriculture launched the National Organic Program. Now the people who inspect organic farms are all looking at the same set of rules, the USDA's national standards. A national standard means farmers know what they need to do to sell milk as organic in every state. So now big dairy farms are churning out organic milk to be shipped out across the nation. Leslie Zuck is director of Pennsylvania Certified Organic, one of the certifiers for the USDA. Zuck says the national program has some problems. The standards aren't always specific, so it can be difficult for certifiers and farmers to know if they're doing the right things. For instance, one big concern is how long dairy cows get to be out on grass.
You go out there and you say, oh, we don't think you have enough pasture. And they say, well, how much is enough? And we say, well, we don't really know, but we don't think you have enough.
Since some rules are a little fuzzy, some certifiers are more lenient than others.
Some certifiers have interpreted that part of the regulation as not really requiring that the cows have pasture all the time and that they really don't have to have a lot of grass to eat. They just have to be out there walking around for a few hours a day.
Zuck says some dairy producers find out which agencies will interpret the standards the way the farmers want and hire those certifiers.
Well, that shouldn't be the case.
Barbara Robinson is USDA Administrator of the National Organic Program.
Certifying agents should all be applying the rules in the same way.
Robinson concedes many issues, such as the required amount of pasture, need to be clarified in the national rules. Some environmentalists were appalled that a large dairy producer in Colorado was certified organic. Aurora Farms confined its cows indoors for 9 months out of the year. Robinson says the USDA considered revoking the company's certification, but instead signed an agreement. And she says Aurora Farms has been improving its practices.
I don't have any problems telling consumers who go into a retail market and purchase organic milk at Walmart that they are purchasing properly labeled certified organic milk. They can feel comfortable with that.
And Walmart and Target are exactly the kinds of retailers that Aurora Farms supplies with its organic milk. Meantime, the people who buy that milk say they expect the government to make sure the dairies are living up to the national standards, especially since customers like Kara Scora have to sacrifice so much to pay the higher prices of milk with an organic label. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
In the forecast for the region today, mostly cloudy skies, afternoon light rain and snow showers possible, a high around 40. Cloudy tonight, some snow showers possible, the low 29. Cloudy and windy tomorrow, turning colder late, the high around 40. But then we'll have westerly winds up to 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Cloudy, much colder tomorrow night, a few flurries early, the low around 10, wind chills falling to 5 to 15 below. Mostly sunny and blustery on Sunday, the high around 20, partly cloudy Sunday night, the low 10, becoming cloudy Monday with a chance of rain or snow with a high near 32 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 8th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.